just two verses we open up with this morning. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25, a pretty familiar passage for a lot of us. And we've been following along in a series called Power to Change that is on Right Now Media. That's an opportunity for us through the internet to be able to follow along in the Right Now Media website. And we're going to talk about building community. And verse 24 and 25 says this, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good deeds, good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." This is God's word. The author of Hebrews, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is addressing a very challenging situation that he finds as those who call themselves followers of Jesus are being pressured to go back to Judaism and also experiencing a lot of pressure to give up their faith because of the persecution. And here in Hebrews, in the midst of those challenges, the pressures, the discouragement, many are giving up on the faith. Many of them are just privatizing their faith, and they're getting disconnected. They're not gathering together for worship and sticking together for Jesus' sake. And he's urging them, don't give up. Don't give up on the faith. Don't give up on Jesus. Don't give up on one another. And as you continually are reminded of your calling and who you are, you need to press more deeply into your new Christian and corporate identity. And so this is a situation that we find ourselves here in the book of Hebrews and speaking into God's people at that time in their situation. And for sure, as we think about that, we can relate in so many ways to the pressures that they were going through, although very, very different. And yet at the same time, after a time of profound disconnection and challenges, this speaks into our situation as well. And the first thing I wanted to mention, kind of a little bit of a biblical theological foundation as we jump into this very practical, challenging message, is I believe that oneness is God's intention for our lives. Let that soak in for just a moment. Oneness is God's intention for our lives. And I've been informed by this as I'm reading Scott McKnight's The Blue Parakeet, which is his challenge to us of how do we read the Bible for what it really is in our time, in our place. And he begins this book, and this really spoke to me, and the reminder that the oneness for humanity has always been God's intention for our lives. In other words, the opposite of oneness he describes as otherness. We naturally don't necessarily gravitate to one another. Otherness is not trusting other people. Otherness is not being at peace with yourself. There is a fracture that has happened when we chose to go our own way in the garden, and for you and I, even today. But that has never been a part of God's intention and plan for us. But it is all about oneness. Oneness, I often have associated in the context of marriage. Be one with your spouse, the two become one flesh. And that I'm very familiar with and understand the concept of oneness within marriage for husband and wife. But Scott McKnight really began to address that oneness is not just for marriage, but oneness is God's design for all of humanity. Oneness with God, oneness with ourselves, and oneness with one another. Life is, from God's perspective, all about oneness. And this idea of independence, being fractured, not trusting one another, why we crave relationship with other people, but we don't know how to do it well. We don't know how to trust. We don't know how to connect with one another. We struggle in our marriages. We struggle in our families. We struggle in our neighborhoods. We struggle at work. And here the gospel speaks that God has a plan to restore and address the fracturing that we experience daily. Life is about oneness. Oneness with God, he says. Oneness with ourselves and oneness with the world. Last night in a wonderful time of worship with three different churches represented, Chris Logan, the worship pastor from Bethany Covenant Church, shared this passage, Ephesians 4:4-6. There is one body, there is one spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Paul later goes on to remind us in Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ. Scott McKnight says this is the story of the whole Bible. Otherness overturned and oneness restored. It happens in the covenant community that is one in Christ. It has never been God's intention for us to be lone rangers. It has never been God's intention for us to pick ourselves up by our bootstraps and to be able to just gut it out on our own strength and abilities. We have failed. The pandemic has shown us how destructive it is to be alienated, to be separated, to give in to otherness. That has never been God's intention. And the gospel of the kingdom is one about renewal and invitation and restoration to oneness. And that's what Jesus does when he enters into our lives, and we experience that in covenant community. That is how otherness is banished into the darkness and how we begin to experience God's intention for us all along. To experience a wholeness, a oneness with ourselves, with God, and one another. And so we begin there as we think about this challenge of building and experiencing genuine community in a time that we know we desperately need it, but we're still trying to figure out how to do it. And so oneness has been God's heart all along for us. And especially during this time where we have experienced otherness, we don't trust other people, we don't know how to connect with other people, we don't know how to serve other people, we have been profoundly disconnected, and God continually invites us to experience the oneness that he longs to give for you and I. And so we begin there. Oneness is God's intention for our lives. Secondly, and very simply, drifting is the natural direction of our lives. There is a reason why Jesus looks at us, and we see this in the Old Testament as well, and calls us sheep. Sheep are very good at what? Eating? Yes. Buying? Yes. But sheep are very good at getting lost and going their own way. That's why the shepherd's crook exists, to ring them back, to bump them a little bit on the head sometimes, lest they literally go off the cliff and scatter all different directions. And I believe that that is the natural MO of our hearts. Whether you are a Christ follower or not, we are continually wanting to go the other way. We actually fight oneness because of our independent spirit, because of our sinful hearts. Yes, I'll use that term. And because what we see here in Hebrews 3, 12 and 13. Take care, brothers. This includes sisters, of course. Lest there be any of you, an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Leave someone alone long enough, they will not naturally gravitate toward oneness, though that is what they long for and want. In their loneliness, alienation, struggle, loneliness, discouragement, darkness, and pain, they know that life was never meant to be lived just on our own. But we often don't move out of that willingly. And it continues to crush us like a weight on our body. Take care, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. That, I believe, is a natural direction and inclination of our hearts, even Christ followers. Look at the words used here in these two verses. Hardness of heart, sin, the deceitfulness, the trickery, the deceit, the lie of sin. A heart marked by evil and unbelief. And the challenge is always that there are other things that are more preferable to our lives than God himself. It was just a few Sundays ago when we talked about confession as one of the ways by which we experience that life change, that the sin under all other sins is, what do we talk about? Is a lack of joy in Christ. How's that been going since we talked about that just a few Sundays ago? The sin under all other sins is a lack of joy in Christ. Jesus himself, towards the end of his public ministry, Matthew 24:12, because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end shall be saved. That is the natural direction of our hearts. And we saw it during COVID, and we are still battling it today. We don't naturally run toward oneness. We love our independence. We love to be those sheep. And yet it is the very thing that we crave and we need most desperately. And that's why the author of Hebrews reminds us of how important it is to run toward oneness. And we experience that in the context of a Christ-centered family and community. And so thirdly, and very simply, encouragement through connection is essential. Encouragement through connection is essential. Verse 24, it's phrased like this: let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, or good deeds. Love and good works. Let us consider. Let us consider is the exact same phrase that we find in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. When the author of Hebrews, trying to help us understand the preeminence of Jesus, greater than all the Old Testament law, the Old Testament prophets, and in this case, even greater than Moses himself, and he begins, consider Jesus. In Hebrews 3, he's basically saying, and John Piper reminds me of how important this is, focus on him. study him. Let your mind be occupied by Jesus. He is the direct object of the verb consider. Consider Jesus. And in the same way now, with our most desperate need being a restoration and invitation to oneness in our lives, consider how we may spur one another on, how we will encourage one another in our faith, in our life, toward love and good works. Think about that. The same word. Dwell upon Jesus. Think about him. Have the unrelenting focus on Jesus. And in the same way, he says, this is your call. Consider one another. Piper says, look at one another. Think about one another. Focus on one another. Study one another. Ooh, that would be interesting. Study one another. Consider their ways. Let your mind be occupied with one another. There is a radical otherness in the sense of not just thinking about yourself when it comes to experiencing oneness. We often individualize our faith. We individualize how might I be encouraged and be blessed if I spend time doing this, that, go to this meeting. How will I benefit? How will I be encouraged? How will I be blessed? But Hebrews flips that script around. Think about one another. How will people be blessed by your presence, by your ministry? Be radically other-focused as you think about your life. That is the key to experiencing the oneness that God has had in his intention for our lives from the very beginning. It's a focus on one another that ultimately points us, in verse 23, to the one who promised us and is faithful. It doesn't end just with one another, but it focuses on one another as we point ourselves to the one who is faithful. John Piper says this, and I love this. He says, without this kind of hope sustaining you day by day through all the disheartening frustrations and crushing disappointments, you would not have any strength or energy or joy to stir anybody up to love and good deeds. But if you bank on God, not on yourself, you always have something encouraging and hope-giving to say. As we begin to think about others, as we preach to them in word and deed that Jesus is stronger, Jesus is faithful, and he is far better than what we have in our lives, be strong in him. Be encouraged and experience the oneness that he desires to bring into our lives. And so very simply, let me end with three applications and three discussion questions for your small groups this coming week. First of all, find us. Well, you're here, so you obviously have found us. But find us. Find a broken, imperfect church family like Trinity. Hey, that's offensive. What are you talking about? Hey, that's us. And if not us, there's another. Yes, it is imperfect. Yes, it is broken. Yes, we have a lot of problems. But we are the blood-bought people of God, paid for by the blood, the precious blood of the Lamb. We are brothers and sisters. We are family. Though you and I may look a little different, we are family. find us. And if not us, find another family to belong to. It begins there. Once you've identified a community that you can begin to experience God's oneness for your life, show up and show up regularly. So much of life, as the phrase goes, the key to success, half the battle, however you understand that, I believe it might be by Woody Allen, show up, show up. After coming back from Mexico, it was an exhausting time, a wonderful time. This week has been nuts. After tonight's youth group for our high schoolers that I will be there as we're joining with another wonderful young church in Glastonbury, the River Church, and youth groups will get together. I don't want to miss out. It's going to be great. That will be my fifth night out of 7 nights after returning back from Mexico. It's not the best practice of self-care, I admit, but I never regret showing whether it's to our small group on Friday, whether it was Alpha, whether it was our key leaders meeting. And I tell you, a lot of those meetings, I don't often feel like showing up. I wanted to crash out after being down in Mexico. But I've never, ever regretted, even last night. Oh my gosh, I gotta make sure I'm ready. Get your butt in that seat and worship God. Once you identify a church community, Trinity is my home, so-and-so church is my home, that's great, but are you showing up? That is half the battle. I've never regretted a time where I've shown up and said, oh man, I shouldn't have shown up. Because God speaks. He works through his body. And we experience the oneness that happens through Jesus Christ. And thirdly, walk with us. Walk with us. Some of us do show up, but our lives are not entangled and enmeshed together. You are still walking like an independent sheep. The invitation is walk with us. Do life together. Life is better when you do it together. I think that's one of the blessings of going down for even just a weekend on a quick vision trip to Mexico. I've been doing it for 25 years. I knew the pastor's youngest daughter when she was about 3 to 4 months old. Her name's Cecia. And we celebrated her 25th birthday party Sunday night. And so, my goodness, 25 years flies by like that. There's something about when your life is enmeshed and you're walking together with others, that once you taste that, you cannot go back. Do you walk with the community? We're glad you show up. But is your life entangled in relational covenant community, that other people's pains is your pain? Their concerns are yours. When they are hurting, you hurt. You are thinking about the other. And in doing so, you will find yourself blessed. You will find yourself filled. Because otherness in the sense of thinking of others ahead of yourselves, is a way by which we experience the oneness that God has had as his original intention for our lives. And so three discussion questions and I'll end. Why is God's intention of oneness so important to understand as the heart of the gospel? It's not just saving your soul so that you have a place in heaven, but it's about oneness and the restoration that comes once we experience what it is like. Have you been drifting away in your life from God? I don't care how strong you are in your faith, how devoted your family is, if you are not intentionally united, entangled, enmeshed, and walking with a group of people called the church, you will drift. I will drift. Find us, show up, and walk with us. How does the connection of community encourage us? That mystical, beautiful, and sometimes messy experience of community when Jesus Christ is the head, drawing all people to himself. Build community indeed is a way by which we experience change. And as we are coming out of a profound time of disconnection, isolation, alienation, and loneliness, what better time with the church that we have to begin to re-engage in intentional community by finding your home church, by showing up regularly, even when you don't feel like it. What's the matter with the pastor? Doesn't he like coming to church? How come he always doesn't want to come? Well, it's a busy season. We're tired. The first thing we do is think of excuses. I don't need to come. Yes, you do. And walk together with us. As we learn to do that, you will experience change. You will experience being filled. You will experience God's intention for our world to experience oneness once again through the person of Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we know that it has been a very, very, very challenging time these past several years, and as we continue to rebuild our own families and the lives of our loved ones, our children, our grandchildren, our careers, our studies. There's so much rebuilding that has been going on, and yet we see the effects of what disconnection and living lives of separation can do to us. I pray, Father, as the church is seeking to rebuild, I pray that we would be challenged and accept the invitation that you give to us to experience oneness with you, Lord, with ourselves, and with others. And as we learn to take heart in this challenge of the book of Hebrews, to not give up the habit of meeting together, but to show up and show up regularly, because where two or three or more are gathered, there you are with us also. And God, give us the courage of what it means to learn to walk together with others in community. Certainly, it's easy to excuse that because our lives are so, so, so busy. We're tired. We're running around like headless chickens. But Lord, can we leave out the experience of oneness with others in our lives? To do so is to our detriment. And so, Lord, in these stages of rebuilding, help us, Heavenly Father, not only to find us and to show up, but intentionally mesh our lives with one another as a family. And in doing so, experience your healing grace of oneness. And so we give you thanks, Father. We invite you once again to show us what it means and how we can experience this oneness again as we draw near to one another in you. We pray these things in Jesus' name.